Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 305 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Today we have Steve Kohler.
Hello.
Theta.
Hello.
And Crocodile.
Hello.
So, there's no Tsunami news this week, but there is just like Warner Discovery news. It's going great over there.
It sounds like everything's going perfectly well.
I don't know if it's like, well, Tsunami is obviously doomed, or if it's like Tsunami is too small to be noticed.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you're referring to that they like are gonna take the Batgirl movie, some Scooby-Doo movie. They're tax writing them off, basically meaning they'll, you know, get some money back for them. They think they'll basically recoup more costs just by doing that rather than releasing them. Apparently they're like shuttering a lot of HBO Max scripted stuff.
There's some
shuttering other animated stuff. So it's just like
because the thing you definitely want to get rid is HBO scripted stuff. Sorry, we could just spend that money on another 90 Day Fiancé spinoff.
I'm kind of puzzled why they're scrapping the Batgirl movie and not the Flash movie, whose like main character, the actor, is like a wanted criminal. Like, that doesn't really make much sense to me. Like, I heard they make a speech about the branding, but that doesn't make sense at all either.
The Batgirl movie was straight to HBO Max, and so the new guy isn't that big on streaming only, and so he's like, this is too small to go to theaters, it's too big for streaming, write it off. Basically. The old guy was the guy who was like, we're just gonna go straight to HBO Max on everything, and this new guy is like, that guy was a fucking idiot.
Well, it's not uncommon for a new boss for any kind of corporate changeover to go like, I see these are projects the old boss is working on, or they're all stupid and I hate them. So that's not unusual, but it does end up with sometimes good projects being canceled for no reason of their, like, they didn't do anything wrong. It was just a guy in charge is just a different person. But yeah, I still can't, like, I don't really care about the Batgirl movie, but A, it's kind of a big blow to all the people who worked hard in that movie. And, like, you know, it was basically almost across the finish line. So that's, like, years of work by God knows how many people just, like, down the drain. And they may not even be able to put in their resumes and shit. So that's just kind of bullshit in that sense. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's just, I can't conceptualize canning that movie while you still have, like, wanted criminal, you know, The Flash starring literal wanted criminal. And then we might have to, like, CGI had his face out of the entire movie.
Well, Flash, you see, because it's part major part of the DCEU, the Flash has to come out, and even if they have to, like, replace Ezra Miller with CGI Christopher Plummer, then whatever, they have to do it. Batgirl, the thing was that they were like, oh, we have to, if we write off Batgirl right now, we'll get more for it than we'll get for it just releasing it.
Mm-hmm. So. There's also just the unfortunate element that, like, Batgirl stars, like, an Afro-Latino woman, you know, you don't get a lot of opportunities for that, and then it's like, never mind.
Never mind!
I wasn't even aware of that. That's kind of extra stinky.
I mean, I don't think that's the reason why they're canning it, it's just kind of an unfortunate circumstance.
So, yeah. Warner Brothers Discovery is going through some stuff, and so...
Are you sure the Shark Week wasn't all the sharks eating everything that was left over at
Shark Week is the only thing that I know it. Shark Week is they're going to ruin Shark Week by making it all year. They're going to fucking ruin Shark Week. It's going to be all sharks all the time, and you've diluted the brand so
Shark
that it's pointless. Shark Channel. Anyway, since we don't know anything specifically affecting, like, Cartoon Network or Adult Swim or Toonami or any of the... of, like, DeMarco's anime projects, which might be too small to be noticed, or also could just be canceled immediately. Who knows? Anything, just, you know. But
I mean, maybe
I wouldn't be surprised.
Giant Weeb too. That's also a possibility. We don't know. Unlikely, but we don't know technically.
Unlikely, but I feel like even like that Lord of the Rings animated movie is like not even on the same cost stratosphere as anything else. So it's like they're not going there when they're looking to cut to save money. But also, maybe they just cancel everything. Who knows?
Well, I guess then maybe not the same news, but kind of in terms of whole corporate mergers and everything of that sort. Crunchyroll recently bought Right Stuff, which DeMarco actually had a reaction to that on Twitter that he was, let's say, less than pleased. He didn't say forcefully, but like he was definitely disappointed.
He doesn't like any of that stuff.
Yeah, I can understand.
Like, Crunchyroll is definitely, they're like, we are your one-shop stop for anime streaming, physical distribution, and merch. We own it all.
Soon they'll be able to make a cyberpunk anime where Crunchyroll is the megacorp that, you know, the protagonist must oppose.
No, because they're under Sony.
Okay, then we'll still have Sony be the megacorp that the anime protagonist must fight against. Same thing.
Sony is eventually going to get bought by Tencent.
All right, then Tencent will be the one. Eventually, yes. we'll get up to the top of the chain.
Tencent, Disney, Apple, and Amazon—the four super corporations that will own everything.
For what it's worth, the cyberpunk anime that Netflix is making—it's looking pretty good.
They have like top tier Studio Trigger talent on that, so they're giving it their all.
Imachi is directing it, right?
Yep. Yes. And also the who's the other Trigger guy?
Yoshinari.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Too, so. That makes sense.
So they basically have their best people on it.
I guess it was
some reason, but it's there.
And a sort of side note: my friend who does not like anime or is not an anime watcher, he is interested in this show because he's a big cyberpunk fan. So he's like, "I'm actually going to watch an anime."
Mm-hmm. That's why they made it.
I mean, I assume it was greenlit like years ago before the cyberpunk game ended up bombing. So. You know, I assume the gears were already in motion, but by that point, so it was like, well, you know.
I feel like it was, I mean, maybe.
It was announced before the game release, for sure.
But even if it wasn't announced, like, you know, the contract and the people and everything, the money exchange obviously happened before the game came out.
Yes. I should play the game. Apparently it's better. Maybe not great.
It is a lot better. I think unfortunately the game has a permanent black eye, but my friend's playing it right now and it's actually really good.
Are you saying that the big we fixed everything patch is probably when the game should have came out in the first place?
Oh no, there's no denying that they screwed the launch royally, but I think that anyone who doesn't give the game a chance now is missing out.
They shouldn't have put that shit out on the PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
No
oh yeah, they royally screwed the launch of this game, but it's unfortunate because it's actually a pretty decent game.
I mean, the thing is though, like there's so much competition that even if you want to say the game is better now, people can just be like, well, I'm playing like five other games I really like or movie or whatever entertainment. So it's like
they had to pay
attention. Well, the window's gone, and now I'm doing other stuff that's equally as good or better. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in shows that will not ever come to Toonami, ever, 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 ever news, Chainsaw Man!
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out this fall on Crunchyroll.
As is Mob Psycho, and,
The fall, the fucking silly season, which contains Chainsaw Man, Spy Family Part 2, Mob Psycho Season 3, My Hero Academia Season 6, Bleach!
So I think Bleach is still up in the air. Do we think My Hero has any chance of coming back to Toonami ever again, or is it just donezo?
I mean, it depends on what their contracts say. If they don't have like a similar contract to Attack on Titan, then absolutely not.
I don't know. I think it's a money issue. I don't think it has anything to do with contracts. I think contracts are out. They'd have to make a new contract.
I think it's a money issue in that the cost of stuff is way up because now you have to pay them to make it worth it for them to not have it exclusive to Crunchyroll.
Correct.
Which is basically it's off limits. There's no way you'd ever be able to pay them enough in the current Warner Brothers Discovery era.
It might also be that even if Toonami had the money, that as you kind of allude to, Warner Discovery might not be wanting to pony up that money. Even if they had it, you know, they could, but like,
I mean, I was going to say that no matter the basically it's priceless. They're not entertaining any offers to put stuff on TV right now. They're just like, no, it's on our service. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's kind of like, are they selling? If they're selling, how much they're selling for? If they're selling it, if would DeMarco be willing to pay it? If DeMarco was willing to pay it, would his bosses be willing to pay that? Like, there are a lot of you know, questions that were not there beforehand, like even last year or two years ago.
So yeah, anime this fall is gonna be stupid. Cause I'm like definitely watching Chainsaw Man, definitely watching Spy Family, definitely watching Mob Psycho. I will probably not watch My Hero Academia.
Like, there might be a few Sakuga filled episodes that might be worth it, or like whatever the episodes of Mirko's in might be sweet ones. But
like, it might literally get crowded out of my lineup. Anyway, how about some? Well, Toonami does show some stuff, and one of those things is Primal. Episode 14, The Red Mist. In this episode,
there's a lot of
red everyone mist. Dies.
And in this episode, the gang does a genocide, basically.
In this episode, turns out if you don't look for none, you won't get none. But the Vikings by being Vikings. Vikings are in a constant state of starting shit. And so sometimes that shit hits back. And in this case, sorry, not even the women and children will be spared, because even the women and children were like, I'm going to go fight this big, huge man. And so...
Yeah, I don't want to make like too big a deal out of this, but I just think it's important to point out that I can't remember ever seeing, even in anime, animation, or anything, like I've never seen like a child like die like in a fight.
I know some countries have like strict like laws that like you can't depict that. I think Germany is one.
And even here, it was like the least violent one.
Yeah, and I mean they definitely
Spear hit him into a rock, and even then Spear was like, "Oh no!" As opposed to the child gets chomped on by Fang.
Spear tried very hard not to kill that child, but that child was just not having any of it.
Right. I mean, they take the effort to give Spear kind of like a reaction shot every time the child is doing something, you know, to kind of be like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. But this show, it goes there. I mean, like even more than like Made in Abyss in a way, because it's kind of like they're not going to not show these people dying, including children and women and everybody, like everybody in this. And like, I think in the thread, people were like, well, who are the good guys? Who are we rooting for here? And I don't think this is a root for sides scenario. This is just the whole show is just like,
I mean, I'm not going to say who's the good guy, who's the good. I'm not going to go Spear shouldn't have done that.
No, but I'm also going to not say that, I don't know, like, these people shouldn't have defended themselves. I don't know.
My thing is that, well, it's sorry, you were Vikings, and I guess you're gonna Viking. And sometimes it goes poorly for Vikings.
I mean, the crux of issues that Vikings took slaves, Spear came befriended one of the slaves, Spear came to rescue the slaves tried to escape, the Vikings made very clear they were not gonna let the slaves escape, and they were not gonna let Spear just, like, and Fang just, like, walk out, you know, all willy-nilly. And then when Spear and Fang tried to escape themselves, it was very clear that, you know, if they just ignored the Vikings, they were going to get pumped full of arrows. So, like, and they couldn't, of course, neither side could talk to each other because they don't speak the same language, so they couldn't, like, use their words, really. So, like, there wasn't really any... This was, like, I mean, people were getting beheaded and shit. Like, you know, this was, like, a massacre. Like, literally a massacre. But they're... I don't know, like, I'll say it wasn't, like, everyone in the thread, but there were certainly a few people I think were very disturbed by it, and I can understand that, because it was gruesome, it, like, just objectively was, but, like, I don't really see any other way this would have gone down, given how
it's... I feel like there is a version of this episode where, like, the Red Mist becomes... Spear is just in a violent rage and kills a bunch of people who aren't even trying to fight Spear, but, no, everyone here was trying to kill Spear, they thought... And then they found out.
Right. I mean, I think the Vikings were well in the right to be like, no, we're not going to just let you just slaughter us. And then we like, but like they have slaves and they want to keep their slaves and they can do that. But then like people are going to be like, well, I don't want to have slaves. And like, I don't know, like everyone was just doing what they thought was the best thing doing in circumstances. And that was just murdering each other. And like there was no real opportunity for anyone to really walk away.
That's what this episode was designed to do, was designed to create this conversation we're having right now. That's what I think is smart about this show, is that, yeah, that's what they're doing. I mean, like in any typical other show, it would have been more one-sided or it would have been more sugar-coated. And here it's no, we're going to show you this scenario and you're going to just deal with it. And I think that that's pretty powerful in its own way. I kind of praise the show for that. I will say that I felt a little uncomfortable watching this episode. I thought, man, they're really taking it to the nth degree. But I think that was the point. The point is to show like this is a terrible, not terrible is the right word, but like this is a harsh world. This is a world filled with death and violence. And this is just the way it is. And you're just going to have to see it happen.
You could say it is primal.
Yeah. I mean, they're really playing up to the namesake of the show. And I think that that's really interesting. I think more than any episode we've had, this is by far the most primal that we've seen.
We say this was metal.
Yeah, this is pretty fucking metal.
I thought the song at the very end was pretty metal, but like, yes, I was kind of overall. Yes, it was.
So Spear and Fang got fucked up.
They should have died. They had massive plot armor. They should have died.
Yeah, look, they're the main characters. They can't. It's metal. This is a series about metal things happening. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not like over here like, oh, it's ridiculous that they died. And it's like, so the show should just end?
You have to suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Yeah, I've suspended my disbelief a long time ago.
I suspended my disbelief when there was a caveman and a dinosaur in the same scene together.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just kind of. Give it some room here.
Anyway, this is like the first time they've been like because Fang got fucked up by that big ape man. But now they're both fucked up. And so I'm assuming they're crawling off to like rest up with Mira and
They're in a boat.
They're in a boat.
They got into a boat and sailed off, and now the only remaining Viking man and his son, who are the only remaining people of this village, are going after them.
His son or his daughter?
It's his daughter, but it's definitely not clear. But like, this is definitely like a group of Vikings where the women get into as much action as the men. So like, it could definitely be in his daughter, but like, it wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, the one lady who's like grabbing my sword and my baby, going out to the fight.
Yeah.
Oh, that was an interesting thing I wanted to talk about briefly too, is that they kept cutting to this really powerful looking female Viking warrior. And like, I kept thinking, oh, this is going to be like a recurring character.
No.
No, just gets bit in half and killed like within like half of the episode.
Fangja was just like blah, blah.
And that's what I'm talking about. They're like not going to. They're not even going to do the kinds of things they did in like Samurai Jack, I think, where they're going to plant the seeds for future stories. It's just like, no, these people just died.
They did plant a seed for future stories, but with the remaining two Vikings. But I think it was just...
Because now we have a cycle of vengeance.
I think, though, with regards to that Viking warrior, like, if Fang was not one of the protagonists and didn't have plot armor, she would have definitely killed Fang. Like, there's no question in my mind that if, you know, Fang didn't have, like, main character privileges, she would have died in that fight. That from that particular warrior would have killed her if Fang didn't have main character privileges.
In general, I just think there's a, you know, this is the type of show you're not. I think some people struggle with, like, if your main character isn't written like explicitly to have all your sympathy, people struggle. And I don't think, you know, Fang and Spear are not supposed to have like all of our sympathy. It's more of like the situation they find themselves in. and all this circumstances that are going on, like, and it leads to outcomes that are kind of disastrous in a way.
That's rough for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, Gendy has laid down the fucking law and said that you will not spoil episode 5.
It was kind of amusing. We were all debating yesterday, not yesterday, the past week about, like, oh, will the execs listen, or can anyone say anything or do anything? And it's, like, pretty clear. No, they won't care if a bunch of people on a podcast whine about getting spoiled in the middle of the episode. But if Gendy says, don't fucking spoil shit in the middle of the episode, they will listen. There is at least someone they will listen to, and there is a button they can push to not spoil shit if someone powerful enough tells them not to press the fucking button to spoil shit.
Now, I bet they go right back to episode previews the week after.
But do you think there's something special about next week's episode in particular that they just didn't want
to tease
at all? So
that's, I think the answer is it's either something very shocking and violent is going to happen next episode.
I disagree. I think this is a direct response to what we talked about last week, and that there's not going to be any more previews. That's my theory. And also, I would go as far as to say
this is 1 week only.
No, I disagree. And I also think that my message to Adult Swim would be, go make promos. Just don't show things that are going to happen in the future. Why do you have to show us stuff that's going to happen next? Just show us stuff that's happened and, like, promote the show that way.
Or at least don't spoil it in the middle of the episode, at least, at the very least. I guess my thinking is that, like, it can't really get any more violent than it got this week. Like, there's no more violence that can be done. I mean, there'll be headings, there's intros flying around.
Gendy in the corner says,
I don't think it's about violence. I think it's about revealing plot points, like having Mira show up before we know she's going to be there.
No, I'm talking about what Grex was saying, that this upcoming week will be one time exception, and be like, there isn't much they could do. Like, they can't get any more violent. So it's what, oh, Fang dies or something? Or, like, Mira dies? It's just like, that's literally, I mean, because Spear's not going to die because he's, like, you know, at least not till the end of the series. He might die at the very last episode, but he's not going to die yet. So it's just like,
I mean, I think Mira, you know, Mira could die.
No, I'm saying Spear, I think, can't die till at least the very last episode, because there just, like, would be zero show without him. Fang could maybe die, but, like, I feel that's unlikely. I guess Mira's more possible that she could die. I think, like I'm saying, you want to say that it will only be next week where they'll make this no preview exception, and I'm just saying there isn't really much more they can go. There's, like, oh my god, shocking sport, like, you know, can't be more violent unless they start, like, you know, unless it was like, you know, no, I'm not going to, the only thing they could do is not think Gendy would do, so I'm not going to bother mentioning it. So, like,
what if this is just marketing?
Whatever.
To get people excited.
It solves a problem we were having.
Yeah. I think it's this idea that there's going to be something that happens next week that they can't preview, I just coming out of thin air. I don't buy that for a second.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, there's also things like, you're telling me there's nothing in the next episode that's you can't preview?
I'm saying that Gendy Tartakovsky got mad that they ruined the previews and said no more previews, and that's what's happening. That's all I'm saying. I think there's not going to be any more previews.
Yeah, I don't.
That's why Adult Swim went through the whole process to make a joke about it by having that commercial thing pop up. I'm trying to read what it says, actually. I'm checking to see if it said any previews or what.
I think it specifically said next episode.
I don't think our reaction last week was, like, outlier or out of norm or whatnot. I don't know what the entire, you know, discourse about the show was across the entire internet or, you know, country as a whole. But I feel like our complaint was pretty reasonable, and I think it's, we don't know obviously, but I think it would certainly be fair if Gendy was also himself being like, dude, what the fuck, like,
I guess I'm looking at it, you're right, it does say Gendy said we can't show you anything from next week episode. Now, if they play this same thing next week, then I'm right, but if they play a new promo next week, then you guys are right, so we'll see.
Then it also means that something has to happen next week to make it worth it to only do it once as opposed to.
I mean, remember that last season was split into two, when in episode 5 of that season, there was some, at the end of that, you thought Fang might be dead.
Yeah, but A, as we mentioned before, this season's not getting split up, but also, it could just show parts of the episode that weren't really spoiler. Like there could just be a clip of, you know, Spear and Fang looking into ocean and be like, and then that could be the clip or something that you really wanted to. Like, they don't have to show spoilery shit if they don't want to. Unless you're trying to say the entire episode is just one mass spoiler, and there's no like 30-second clip they could show that doesn't spoil something significant, and I just find it hard to believe.
Anyway, I like this episode of Primal. It was very primal. Anyway, how about some Yashahime? Yashahime, Princess Half Demon, episode 26, Demon Spirit of the Sea. And we're right back to the generic Monster of the Week stuff.
Well, to be frank, I enjoyed this episode more than the previous one.
You didn't like Toa powering up for like 20 minutes, BZ style?
Yeah, that was boring. This is not amazing, but it's definitely a more coherent story that actually has a start, beginning, and end.
Anyway, so what are they looking for?
I think a root to help Toa make a weapon that she can actually wield.
Yeah, I don't understand how a root helps her make a weapon, but yeah.
I was also having problems with my internet with my wired internet on my Roku, so I had to like restart it like 5 times during this episode, so I may have missed a bunch of stuff.
They're looking for like 2 things. They're looking for this root because Todesai, or whatever his name is, said that Toa shouldn't use a weapon unless it's made for demons. And then they're also looking for a person.
Okay.
Someone to tell them something about someone, right? I can't remember names, though.
Everyone is super duper vague about what their plans are and what they want. Rin is now, I guess, just the designated villain. And he's like, I'm going to go to the creepy Buddha weed cave.
I think his name is Riku.
Did I write down Rin?
I
did.
Rin is stuck in a tree still, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Riku, he's out here like freezing oceans and stuff.
Fuck you, Riku. That's Aokiji's thing. Anyway, we're off to the seaside village where that jealous lady turns into stone if you have nice hair. So don't lose your goddamn hat.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was not sympathetic to this woman's plight much at all.
But I went to the village disguised as the terrible poisonous sea snake, and they told me to fuck off. And it's
the sea snake that's known to be like a curse if you don't kill it.
And the guy who I love didn't even recognize me. And it's like, what do you mean you're a sea snake?
Yeah,
you dumbass. You moron!
Yeah, I didn't. The character, the evil character in this was the real weak point of the story because, like, she makes him.
Shouldn't Moroha have just said, well, of course he didn't recognize you. You're a snake. And she goes, oh, that's fair. I guess I should just die.
I really wanted someone to say that. I feel like if someone had said that, that would have made the episode worth it. But since no one said that, the episode was kind of pointless. Like, someone needed to say that, like, I'm sorry what happened to you, but you kind of brought on yourself. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, that sucks, but like, don't hit a hornet's nest if you don't want to get stung by hornets. Like, I don't know what, like, getting stung by hornets sucks, but like, what do you want, man?
This is another case of a character fucking around and finding out and going, how dare I find out?
And then, like, it's made worse by the fact that, like, she's defeated basically by just seeing the person that she had previously hated.
I don't understand what's going on here. Why is there a red thread of fate down to a statue at the bottom of the ocean?
Why is the statue there, of all places?
It got taken out by the tide. Who knows?
Yeah, there's tides, and it was a long time ago.
Whatever.
But, like, why would seeing that statue make her, like, regress? Because she's the one who did that. It's kind of silly to me.
Don't ask.
Maybe she just had a change of heart in that moment. She's like, oh, well, I guess I'll finally think about my stupid mistakes I made and I'll revert back to being the sea spirit.
Oh, there's only 5 minutes left in the episode. Guess I'll die.
Yeah.
Anyway, will Moroha ever figure out that this guy is just bilking her?
You mean Toa or?
No, I mean Moroha and her.
Oh, yeah. The boss. Yeah.
Oh, the person she gets bounties for.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy. And what was I going to say? Oh, I will say that, like, on the good side, I mean, this episode did look better. Like, seems like the animation was a little better in most places. The characters were a little drawn a bit better.
Yeah, I actually noticed that, too. Less so the animation, more so just the art was pretty good.
Yeah, it's like the lines are cleaner and the characters were more on model,
mm-hmm.
which is a good sign. But, yeah, I mean, it's not an amazing episode or anything. It was pretty standard fare stuff.
I mean, it's pretty standard in that I don't like it very much, so.
I won't say I don't like it. I just was like, it's just average.
I find the filler, the Monster of the Week episodes of Yashahime to be pretty insipid.
Hmm.
Which is mostly because I find, I mean, the main characters are kind, they're just like, did they have to all be so dumb in so many different ways?
And not really entertainingly dumb, except Moroha's kind of entertainingly dumb, but not the sisters. They're just kind of dumb and boring.
And it's like, what? Go back to Greece, Medusa. Anyway, another half year of this. I'm just checking my watch, and it's like, all right, can Inuyasha and Kagome show up now? I know they're going to, so just get it over with. Just give me them, give me Moroha and Inuyasha yelling at each other. That's all I want.
I got trapped in something by Sesshomaru what's his face?
Sesshomaru trapped them in the pearl right before Kirimaru showed up, and he was like, oh, this is definitely Sesshomaru doing something good for them, even though he's pretending to be a villain.
But apparently that big earlobe guy was in the original series, too. I don't recognize him, but other people were saying he's another callback character.
I mean, there's a bajillion dudes from the original series. It was hundreds of episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lupin the Third. Lupin the Third, Part 6, Episode 15, Wedding Bells Ring with the Sound of Gunfire. Okay, so in every single part of Lupin, there's one episode about Jigen getting shot and getting nursed back to health by Pretty Lady, who he falls in love with, but he can't be with because his only love is Gun. And this is the one for Part 6.
That's fair.
It's all right.
Yeah, I can't say I have, this was a particularly consequential episode of Lupin. Felt like, kind of, as you mentioned, fit in a particular archetype. But, you know, I thought it was, you know, well-directed, well-animated, people gave good performances. I thought I generally enjoyed it. But again, it's not really, you know, Jigen got some cool moments and some cool poses,
Jigen,
and cool lines.
The master gunman knows when to just drop the gun and stab you.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny, yeah. No one expects no one expects the Spanish Inquisition, no one expects a stabbing from a gunman.
Also, just wanted to point out that the woman and her fiance, I don't think they're technically married.
Yeah, because the priest was actually a kidnapper.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody noticed that Jigen just went off and just shot the priest. Everyone's like, ooh, fireworks! And Jigen's over here, like, not even hidden by anything, just like, bang, bang, bang!
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, sure.
It'll be Jigen's secret. Which is kind of the theme of the whole episode, really. He has secrets about this relationship he had with this woman. And I'm actually surprised. I mean, they went as far as, like, they were romantic. I don't know how far it went, but they were definitely romantic. They kissed and everything. So I like the idea of these characters having these kinds of pasts. I think it's cool.
I mean, I think the issue I have is that Jigen has like 5 to 6 of these. Same.
Sure, why not? I mean, he's a freaking, he travels the world. He's a rogue. I mean, it makes sense to me. He's like a Han Solo, you know?
I think it's certainly plausible for, I mean, Jigen's like, you know, Lupin characters technically don't age, but like if you were to put an age on them, he's probably in his 40s or 50s or something. I don't think it's unrealistic for a man who's like, yeah, travels the world, kind of as vagabond, to kind of run into multiple women and he's kind of fall in love over the course of his life, that he's decided to leave because, you know, the gunman's life for him. It is kind of right. An issue that these are kind of, again, kind of an episode archetype, and then they're kind of repetitive, and you get one of these every season and whatnot. So, like, the critiques that Grex is bringing up are entirely valid, but like also I can understand, like, you know, if you've lived the type of life Jigen has lived, it's plausible that you'd get, you know, hurt a lot, meet a lot of doctors, you know, have a type, so you fall for them, but then you leave for them because you have, you know. I think both people are right, basically.
Jigen is gonna regret it when the women from every single continent who he's been nursed back to health by and fell in love with all meet each other and go, wait a minute. And then he can't shoot his way out of that one. But the twist at the end of the episode is that the lady herself put the picture of the jewel up to get Lupin interested so that Jigen would see it and come over there.
Yeah. She was actually the smartest person in this episode. She was on top of everything. She knew that Jigen was watching her the whole time and protecting her. So I thought that was cool.
And then at the end of the episode, they get the jewel. And Lupin's like, yay, Eddie, you should have this, Jigen. And Jigen's like, you know what would be better than this jewel? Throwing this jewel in the ocean and then sort of struggling to come up with a cool line.
He had a good pose, at least. But I mean, Jigen's like, I don't need bitches or I don't need coin. I got my gun. There you go.
And Lupin's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I just imagine Lupin immediately just like renting a scuba suit and just going and getting that.
God damn it! Fuck! God damn! And then, no, he like, Jigen throws it into the water, and then like Fujiko comes up with a scuba scoot already and is like, haha, that's mine.
Yeah.
She would do that.
Let's see if there's anything else. I don't know. I mean,
not really.
It was fine. It was a good episode. It was, again, just kind of predictable.
It's weird about the points where it's like, I don't know, are they going to let poor people into this wedding? And they're like, we'll be very generous and let the poors into the wedding for this one special day.
Yeah.
And the lady was like, I'm from District 32. And it's like, District 32 of what? The Hunger Games place?
Apparently it's a thing in France, I think.
I guess. Anyway, she said it like it's a thing of like a weird fictional dystopia country. And it's like, oh, what's up with that?
Yeah, I kind of got those vibes too. So that was a little weird, I felt. I mean, not really controversial.
But apparently she's just from a poor area of France. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just like the idea. I hate the classism stuff. Not that like I hate it being in the show. I just hate it in general, like in real life. Like I just hate this idea that like, oh, these people are above these people, and I just ugh. Like I don't know. It just gets under my skin. And yeah, there was a lot of that in this episode. Oh, the rich guy is going to marry this poor woman. But what I did like though is that she wasn't putting up with any of it. I did like that.
Mm-hmm. She's the dominant person in this relationship. This dude is just he's a dweeb.
And then like his friend who came up and he's like, oh, I don't recognize your royal line. And she's like, I'm not, bitch.
Get the fuck out of here. I know five different ways to kill you without leaving a mark. I'm a doctor.
I mean, doctors would make good assassins, you know.
Who wants some One Piece?
Me.
Yeah!
Gold Roger, the king of the pirates, attained every treasure that the world had to offer. Smiling, even as he stood upon the scaffold, he issued a challenge to the world.
You want my treasure? You can have it. I left everything I gathered together in one place. Now you just have to find it.
Now those who dare to dream hoist their flags and sail into the great pirate era.
One Piece, episode 571. She loves sweets, Big Mom of the Four Emperors. In this episode, some Big Mom people have come and they're like, where the fuck's the candy? And one of them is Peckoms, this adorable lion with a pink suit and also adorable eyes. And Peckoms is great. We like Peckoms.
And he is accompanied by Tamago, a man who looks like a giant egg with super long legs.
He's also very French, and his hat is a teacup.
He's from, like, yes. Longfoot tribe, I think they said in the...
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
There are some people, yeah, and some people in the One Piece world who are just like weirdly long limbs and stuff. I mean, yeah, there are lots of weird body types, I suppose.
So, I love that. I love it. Big Mom of the Four Emperors, one of the most powerful pirates alive. Here are some of her top dudes. These complete weirdos.
Yep.
This guy's hat is a teacup. Don't fuck with him, he'll kill a whole island.
How does this guy's teacup stay so warm? Mysteries, I tell you.
Anyway, so...
Oh my god,
Big Mom is very...
Sorry, it was just a thought came to my mind, like, what happened if, like, a bird just, like, took a crap in his teacup and he didn't notice and he tried making tea or something? That'd be really depressing.
Honestly, that's something I could have imagined. I don't think that joke ever happens, but you can see it happening. Anyway, Big Mom is very large and very hungry for some candy, but she will settle for people. Apparently. This is bad because Luffy ate all the candy.
I gather that the events of this episode aren't very important, right? Like, this isn't gonna change the
none of this matters.
Yeah.
Luffy totally just picked up the phone. So it was like, hey, is this the Four Emperors? I'm coming for your ass. This island's mine!
Yeah.
Yeah, here's Big Mom.
Yeah, we sort of see her. You don't really get to have a good look at her. I mean, yeah, she's
this
here.
Is why I said this is why I said that it's like the Big Mom silhouette was pretty accurate. It's like, yep, that's Big Mom.
The hair is like in that silhouette. The hair is not right, but it's close. And
the hair is fungible. The body shape and the face are not.
Yeah, and all we really see is we see Big Mom. She's on an island that looks like a cake.
She says it's a whole cake island, right? They said that on screen, I believe.
Yeah, oh, did they? Okay. It's whole cake. You've probably heard of the whole cake arc.
Right. Well, I'm not trying. I'm being very careful to not say things that have not been revealed in this show. So I don't know if they said that. I don't remember. But now it's out. Yes, that's whole cake island. Anyway, that's where she is. And with her are some of her people. One of them is a guy who has a head that goes da, 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 da. And we also see a young woman sitting next to her who
has three eyes.
She has three eyes. You don't know anything about that. And yeah, and Big Mom is calling Luffy a little brat.
I mean, he kind of is a little brat to be in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, she's not wrong here.
Anyway, so Luffy's like, yeah, I ate all the candy, it was all me, and you suck, so this is my island now.
It was me, Austin, it was me all along.
So, I'm sure everyone else on the crew will have a great reaction when they find out about this. Because
they sort of already did in the next episode.
Yeah, episode 572, many problems lie ahead, a trap awaiting in the new world. That's a very generic episode title. It's like, what's this episode about? Issues coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess I was going to say, like, this whole kind of exchange was extremely ridiculous, but extremely in character for Luffy. And it's like, you knew this was going to happen as soon as, like, things start, you know, as soon as things start going to motion. Like, this was very obvious what's going to happen. So it's ridiculous, but entirely in character for Luffy.
I love the whole, like, phone call between them, because it's like, it's so Luffy to not care and not realize what he's doing. But, like, it can't really be understated that this is one of the most powerful people in the world he's talking down to. And just, yeah, it's funny. And, I mean, I think that happens in this episode, but they kind of make an arrangement where he says, well, look, I'll give you all of the treasure.
Yeah, that is this episode.
And we also learn in one of these episodes that one of the treasures is the Tamate box. Or Tamate Bako, I guess, in Japanese, right? And that minister dude put a bomb in it, and now Big Mom has this. So.
Oh shit, we've just sent a bomb to Big Mom.
Yeah.
I love good job. Nephew's face when he realized what happened. Like, he was like, oh my, like, he was just like, oh shit.
Fuck. And
Neptune's face also, he's just like, oh crap.
And they go into detail about, like, you know, we can't upset these emperors because they could just send fleets of people to come destroy our island, you know?
Okay, so there's also a point in one of these episodes they mentioned, like, the supernovas. I don't know if they've called them supernovas yet, have they?
I mean, this is the thing, it's because they didn't show Saboidi, but when they got to Saboidi, there were a whole bunch of Wookiee pilots who got there at the same time. And
yeah,
had
but I don't
big
think they called them supernovas at that point. At least not in the dub.
There's like two names they go by. One is called
like Super Rookie or something.
Well, they're called the Worst Generation.
Yeah.
And then they're also called the Supernovas. And sometimes, I think in some contexts it means something different. I tend to use them interchangeably myself, but it's the same group of people. It's like the same 10 pirates.
Mm-hmm. And they mentioned Charlotte Linlin. Is that the one who eats a lot, or am I thinking someone else?
Charlotte Linlin is
Big Mom's real name.
Oh, okay. Who's the supernova girl who eats a lot? What's her name?
Jewelry Bonnie.
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Okay.
I sure would like to figure out what's going on with Jewelry Bonnie someday.
I think that's going to happen soon in the manga.
I hope so, because she's...
Somebody put a chart up. This isn't too spoilery for me to say, so I'll just say it. But, like, somebody put a chart up of all of the supernovas, or Worst Generation, whatever. And it's like, how long ago did they appear, and did they have their backstory and or play a significant role in the story? And, like, almost all of them have at this point, except for a couple of them, and one of them is Jewelry Bonnie.
It's Jewelry Bonnie and Uruge.
Yeah.
Uruge is a giant guy with, like, the tiny wings.
Yes, that's it. He's basically, like, he's from, like, a sky island.
Yeah.
And it's like, so
He's a Birkin, I think.
He hasn't done anything yet. Right. Like, at the point we are in the anime right now, the only thing we've seen him do is, like, he got sucked up into a big, weird, like, floating ball.
Well, he was on a skyline. Last time we saw him, he was on a sky island.
That's not in the anime yet.
Oh, okay. Anyway, those two have stories to tell, I'm sure, in the future.
They briefly showed Captain Kidd, or whatever his name is, in this episode.
Captain Eustace Kidd.
Yeah.
Not an important character.
He was the only one with a bounty higher than Luffy at the time.
That's right.
So, but that seems pretty significant. That means however he got to Saboidi, he got even more notoriety than Luffy did.
The reason is because he was just like, I'm going to kill random people.
Yeah.
Luffy, but evil. Anyway, also Caribou. God damn it, they took my frickin' treasure. I'm gonna get my treasure back from these total losers. And then Peckham's just like
Hurdle.
And it's like, okay, welcome to the new world. Every fucking dude has hockey. If you're just like, look, I'm a Logia, then you're fucked.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is clear in the episode, so I'll just say it, is that, like, the Logia users, like Caribou, who can turn their body into a substance, normally in the past, normal people can't really punch them because it would just go right through them, right? But if you have haki-infused fists or haki-infused body, you can hit them.
Yeah, they've explained that
Caribou
before.
Has not learned this already from getting punched out by Luffy on, like, two separate occasions.
Yeah. So, just to make it clear, That's what we're saying, is that, like, Logia users, you know, they can be powerful, but, like, once you have haki, you can kind of get through their defenses. I
mean, the difference between the Grand Line and the New World is Grand Line, nobody has haki. New World, everyone has haki. Literally everyone.
Even the newborn infants?
Yep, they got haki.
No.
No.
What about the pet dogs and all the stray cats and all those critters?
Sure, why not? Anyway, there are some characters we haven't seen in a long time that are about to show up. It's Smoker and Tashigi.
Yeah.
Remember Smoker and Tashigi?
I think they showed up in the Marineford. So that was the last time we saw them.
They did, but before that, the last time they showed up was like Alabasta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in Alabasta. And before that, Logtown, but yeah.
Hey, I remember when I was watching through Marineford, Smoker almost killed Luffy, like, the second time.
Yeah, Smoker
and he was
is
saved
like
by Boa.
That guy.
He's come close to killing Luffy twice.
He's definitely he's sort of the, I was gonna say, he's the Garp to Luffy's Goldie Roger, but I mean, I guess that technically is the case.
Kind of,
I was going to say Kobe will be that. But based on the plot of the series, I don't know if Kobe's going to get very many chances to go after Big Pirate Luffy. Or maybe he will. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But I see what you're saying. It's like Smoker's kind of like of this generation, like the strongest, like, well, not strongest, really. He's just...
No, he's not. I mean, he could
be. He's just sort of the guy who keeps running into Luffy, I guess.
He's just like Luffy. He just is weirdly a huge amount of trouble for Luffy.
Yeah.
And it's like, and oh, fuck, not that guy.
And Tashigi here, they are in charge of a new unit of Marines called G5.
They're basically just in charge of the Bad Bunch or the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, those all like definitely look kind of like some less than savory dudes. And I don't know, I was not a fan of... I guess they think in their heads they're being respectful to Tashigi, but like, I don't know, they were kind of... have creeps.
Oh, they were perving on her a little too much, for sure, yeah.
Well, the series isn't very respectful to Tashigi, so...
It's a kind of running gag with her. Like, there's another Marine named Hina who has the same issue where, like, all of her subordinates just love her.
It's basically like, are you a female Marine officer? Your thing is that all the dudes around you are simps. That's it. That's your character.
That's the joke. That's not them, but that's the joke. Because, like, Tashigi's got more going on.
Yeah, Tashigi has a lot going on. Like, she's definitely Zoro's childhood friend, Kuina.
I think that's been confirmed to not be true, but anyway.
Or has it?
I think it has. Anyway.
All I'm saying is that Zoro's backstory is due for a major, like, expansion. So, who knows?
But anyways, in as far as Tashigi goes, she was literally saying, like, the way you're talking to me is actually insulting, and then they continue doing it. So it's like almost like self-aware that, like, yeah, this is actually pretty insulting to Tashigi as a character,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, I mean, it would be, but if I think the series is in on the joke.
Yeah, right. And the other running gag with Tashigi is that if she doesn't have her glasses on, she just points at the wrong thing and thinks she's talking to a person, and she's just, like, talking to, like, a pole.
Which is like, okay... Right, fine.
Everyone basically has the Velma disease.
Everyone's a doofus in One Piece, but, you know.
Yeah. I like it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just pointing it out. It's kind of funny.
I mean, she can at least block a cannonball with a sword, so it's not all that bad.
Did she have her glasses on when she did that? Now I'm trying to remember.
Yes, she did.
I was going to say, like, as a swordswoman in a shonen anime, shouldn't she be able to, like, fight without using her eyes or something? I guess she can, but sometimes she just still can't see things or something. Or, like, she has some weird, like, I guess...
Just buy a chain for her glasses, you know?
Keep them on her head. I mean, she seems like she has that shonen warrior intuition that lets you fight without your eyes, but still, like, randomly pretends she can't see anyway or something. I don't know. It feels inconsistent.
I think you're putting way too much thought into this.
It's a joke, I think. It's just, like, whenever she's talking to someone, then she's talking to the wrong person, if she doesn't have her glasses on.
She's not even talking to the wrong person. She's just talking to a tree.
Right.
She's talking to the mast in this case. But the pirates kind of who come up from the ocean basically are like, it was Straw Hat Luffy. And then Smoker's like, I know.
I'm going to get that motherfucker this time.
Yeah, I guess I had asked. I was curious how he knew, but then
I don't know if he actually knew for sure other than like, a pirate's causing trouble, and somewhere it's probably Luffy.
Yeah, I think someone in the thread was saying that was just Jean Savvy, I suppose. Like, that's how Smoker knew or something.
He knows his role in the plot, and if Luffy's not there, he wouldn't be here, so.
One of the things I enjoy about watching this on Toonami is, because I don't have access to the dubs of these episodes, so watching them here is the first time I'm hearing these voices. And so hearing the voices of Peckhams and Tamago and Big Mom and Smoker, like I think I may have heard Smoker once before, but yeah, it's really neat hearing them.
Tamago is so French. Anyway, anything else about One Piece?
We're about to head into a filler arc, I guess, or like a little like 4-episode, 5-episode filler thing.
Yeah, 4 episodes.
Oh, goody.
Sometimes these filler arcs episodes have at least like halfway decent animation. That's like one thing, like the one thing to maybe look forward to. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know in this era of One Piece if you can expect it, but There was a random filler episode in Impel Down, or a filler, like a two-episode filler arc there that had decent animation. It's like,
wasn't that the one? That was the one that was, I believe that.
It's tied to a movie with Fisher Tiger, maybe? Or no, someone else?
Don't you mean Shiki?
No, it was not Fisher Tiger, but there was some filler arc in Impel Down that had halfway decent animation, and it was sort of,
I believe, surprising. That's the one that they introduced, like, Shiki, the villain of Strong World.
Oh, it might have been that.
Anyway, how about some Naruto Shippuden? Naruto Shippuden, episode 405, The Imprisoned Pair. That's a dramatic episode title for what basically amounts to Tenten and this rain girl are, like, becoming friends while being chased by big ants.
Yeah, I sure hope you like big ants. That's this whole episode.
Like, ants have been amongst the lamest of villains they could have come up with for this arc, or I don't know. That was just not interesting, enthralling, engaging, exciting.
It's like, okay, they have to fight something down in these tunnels. What are we, but who? And someone was like, ants. And it's like, okay. Anyway, I don't know. What happened to... A whole bunch of this episode is like how, like, oh, the rain village is so oppressed because it has to be super secretive and rainy due to the big villages. And I'm like, what happens to the rain village in, like, Boruto?
I have no idea.
The first arc was, or the first, like, arc outside of Konoha was the village hidden in the mist again, right?
Yeah, they went to the
kind
mist.
Of parallel how Naruto did things?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't... Who knows? I have no idea. And these characters wouldn't show up anyway, because they're not real. but anyway, yeah. Tenten is kind of basically just like, well, what if I could summon water?
The argument, I guess, being, like... In this, under how this magic or chakra works in this world, is like it's the same as summoning your weapons, only it's water. So you should be able to do it.
I watched this episode, but like only kind of. Like I was trying to watch it and I was just sort of bored, and it was late. But all I remember is that Tenten is stuck underground with this like other, a rain village version of her, basically. They're both like the summoning weapons people.
Like Tenten shoots stuff out of scrolls, and this girl sucks stuff into scrolls, and also has a panda that's on meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fucked up looking panda. Like, what the fuck was that?
This is your panda. This is your panda on meth.
Yeah. And then we've got our other two teammates out with the other two teammates from the same squad trying to get in. And that's all I remember. I don't even remember if they make it.
That's pretty much it. Pretty much this episode was Tenten and other girl like kind of chatting about like, why is the hidden mist so secretive?
Why is the hidden rain so secretive and weird? And she's like, don't give away the fact that we're in a big paper lady cult.
And then basically, I guess the climax of this episode was like the ants are about to eat them. And Summoner Girl is like, I can only do so much. I need you to help. Like, you can do it. You can do it. And Tenten's like, fine, I'll do it. And then summons water and then they get out. So.
And then they're like, actually, never mind. We'll go find somebody else to steal a scroll from. And it's like, how many fucking people are you going to fight for one fucking scroll? Also, this like group of doofuses from the Leaf show up. And they're like, haha, we're going to beat up you two people. And then Neji and Lee are like, no, you're not, because we're friends now. And they're like, you can't do this. And then they were like, bye.
Yep.
I don't know. It's another Naruto Shippuden episode. Presumably, we will go back to... Now we will go over to, like, Sakura, Ino, and Choji. And they'll have, like, a run-in with somebody. Or maybe, like, Fu. And then we'll be back... We'll go back to Neji and Lee and Tenten are like, okay, we actually have to get a scroll now. Like, we actually have to beat up the next person we see.
Yeah, it's pretty boring episode.
Yeah, nothing remarkable.
Oh, Naruto. Just idling the days until you're finally gone. Anyway, that's it for Toonami this week.
Oh, before we close, I just wanted to mention, because I kind of wanted to do it over the course of the week, but I kept forgetting and kept getting preoccupied. I thought that Photoshop you did of Spear's head on Lupin's body for last week's promo image for the podcast was very funny, and I appreciate it, Seacolor.
Thanks. I actually realized after the fact that the joke doesn't really work, though, because we were saying that, like, in this episode, we were saying that Lupin would make a good detective, but Lupin's a thief. I should have put the face on Zenigata. But whatever.
I suppose that's fair, but I don't know. I thought that Photoshop brought me a smile on my face. I kept wanting to post in the thread, but I kept getting preoccupied with something, so I just wanted to mention that. Obviously, you know, thank you for all your work on the podcast in general and the editing. And, you know, obviously, you know, thank you for everything. But I don't know, just a little thing that popped my head that I just especially want to call out to, which I know is small and irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. But I don't know, it was nice. Cool.
Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, Crocodile.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Seda.
Yep.
Thank you, Seacolor.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week for this super duper episode of Primal that we're not allowed to spoil at all. Or Gendy will kill us. Bye. Later.